Our next item is rules of procedure, possible amendments. Taking everybody's gotten a copy.
Gentlemen, I'll run through these real fast. You've got copies of the latest, greatest, and most updated version. Yeah, the one that I handed out. Because there's a couple changes to this that just wanted to bring your attention to. It reflects basically they're the same rules, and there's some amendments to them to reflect our accurate meeting time. One thing that was brought to my attention, rule 3.2, if you turn to page 3, it's about notifying the applicant of the hearing. It was brought to my attention that right now it says 15 days. If we're going to require submission of books and materials 10 days, that probably needs to be bumped back to something like 30 days to give them enough lead time. I hope that works all right with staff as far as scheduling.
I think the axiom, since you're referencing advertisements, the code says 15.
Okay.
But the land use, LUP, or the LUPA, the old LUPA process, and the required 20.
Okay. Well, 20 probably works as well. You know, the main thing is 15 doesn't, if an applicant doesn't know when the hearing is, and then they get sprung on them and it's 15 days out and they've got to get their books in 10 days before, that's probably not, that's close.
How far ahead do we advertise?
Well, that's about 30 days, but it's between 20 and 30. Because the advertisement and the public notice is all that same day.
So if we said 20 days and you're already sending out the notice, the public notice, and you send out the letter at the same time to them, that meets it.
To get that public notice is done, they do the other.
So it all kind of goes hand in hand.
Once the advertisement goes, then they do the other.
Okay.
Then the next one is Rule 4A, which is the consent agenda. After tonight's meeting, one thing I'm going to change is to delete in that the reference to that limit it to matters considered under other business, because that would exclude the final site plans that we talked about. So I'll change that. You can vote on it subject to this change if you agree with it, that anything on an agenda could be put on the consent agenda.
Right. Okay. I didn't realize we had that limit in there.
Yeah. And then one thing, too, I'm going to add the phrase in 4A2, so it'll read as follows. An item may be removed from a consent agenda if any member of the Planning and Zoning Commission objects to it being included thereon. If an item is removed from the consent agenda, it shall be considered as a separate item under the appropriate section of that meeting's agenda.
Yeah, that's good.
So that way it drops back down, you know, into wherever it's supposed to be on that agenda. And then we get to let's see, 15.5 and 15.6, and that's the one that was added after, I think, one of the commissioners requested that if in 15.5, if somebody's a no-show, any reconsideration of an application denied because of them being a no-show shall be scheduled as though it's a newly filed manner, and then says no scheduling preference shall be given unless permitted by the commission. That way, if somebody has a legitimate reason for not being there, you know, they're not dumped at the bottom of the line, but they've got to show it. So,
or so instructed by council.
Yeah. Meaning county council, or not legal council? Okay. And then 15.6 goes hand in hand with that. If somebody withdraws it in advance of a scheduled public hearing, it has to be reconsidered as though it's a newly filed matter. No rescheduling or no scheduling preference would be given unless requested by the permission. Again, there might be reasons why that makes sense for somebody to stay in line.
Well, the commission has granted, advised us to, they withdrew a conditional use and they have, or changed the zone, and they were, the commission supported a conditional use application. Right. They would hear it, not saying they'd grant it, but they would hear it.
Right.
And then they told us to go expedite.
Right, and that's what
so that would fall under that. Anyway.
Falls under that, yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, essentially, those are the changes. One thing that I know, and I was discussing this actually with Mr. Schrader, he pointed out that probably Rule 19.1 should be amended to state that these rules shall become, or that the amendment to these rules shall become effective January 1. The reason he points that out is, for example, we've got public hearings scheduled for a Thursday, you know, or two, and they're not going to know necessarily about the 10-day requirement. I don't care what date you use.
Yeah, we're getting scheduled for December now.
Yeah, so January 1.
January 1st sounds good.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's the extent of the changes.
Yep.
I think it takes into account everything that we talked about. There's a couple other changes, like referencing the fact that we're not doing it on a magnetic tape anymore. It's digital, the recordings, you know, that type of thing. I didn't go over those, but
right. We've got them all underlined or bracketed what changes are.
So everybody had a chance to look at these previously?
Yes, indeed.
So what would you do on 3.2? Change it to 20 or?
I think I should, just change it to 20, at least 20 days before the date. And Lawrence, I can get you a better, clean.
That's fine. No, I'm just for the purpose of the motion.
And these also, just so you know, these incorporate, there was three or four amendments that had occurred along the way in the life of these rules. So now they're all in one place, and what I'd like to do is get them up to, I guess, Eddie upstairs so that a cleaner version can go on the website so that anybody can have access to it.
Just two things I would like for you to round up for me.
Sure.
I would like to have a copy of the Delaware State Employees, Officers, and Officials Code of Conduct that is found in Title 29, Chapter 58, Subchapter 1 of the Delaware Code, or if you can refer me to it online. Is it
on? Is
Delaware Code online?
Yeah, it's easy enough to get to.
I'd just like to see what it is, since we're subject to it.
And there was two questions. There was a question about, I think Mr. Johnson raised, about notifying people outside of 200 feet. That's what the ordinance states, so the rules say the same thing as the ordinance. There was a question I think Mr. Couts asked about whether Mason's Manual of Procedure, or whatever exactly it's called, is applicable. That's the way the rules have been. That's what council's used and everything else, so that's been consistent.
Yeah, it just, I wasn't familiar with Mason's, and I didn't know if we even had a copy of it, but my understanding is it's a legislative.
Yeah, but it's been what, I know there's been interpretations looked at it, even as recently, the Board of Adjustment uses it as well, because there was a question about how to vote that was referred
right.
to that.
Right.
Yeah. We had a few years ago, the subject came up about the order of when you're calling for a motion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How that is handled, and that what we're doing isn't what we're normally, what most people are used to, Roberts, where you call for discussion and all that stuff, but this is a little different.
On 3.3, the reference to the affidavit, we don't require that. But we do it ourselves because we have the current information on the web, on the AS400 system for the county.
The problem with that is, and I know that's how you've always done it, and that way it verifies, because actually Mr. Johnson and I had a little bit of a discussion about that today too, that way you know that you're pulling off the right names as opposed to relying on the app.
I'm sure we make mistakes too, but we were getting stuff from applicants that were 50 people and there was only 10, and we would still notify them.
Right.
But when we do it, we try to get it at 200, and sometimes we'll go greater if it's,
right.
And sometimes I've noticed that they miss a few once in a while, but
right. Well,
it's not required by any code, it's just a cursor.
Well, but yeah, I mean, 99.8C says that you have to, that's where that comes from. The applicant should provide a notarized list of property owners.
So yeah, I know it does, but
that's where that is.
We've never done it.
Yeah.
We used to accept that, and we found them to be incorrect. We had to do it anyway.
I know, I completely understand. Well, I can make that change so that it states. What I can do is 3.3, because that's the way the rules have been. I can change that, so basically taking out that first sentence and state that the Director of Planning and Zoning shall cause a copy of the public notice of the public hearing to be mailed to each person or each property within 200 feet of the boundaries. That'll cover it, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah, that way you're not talking about that.
So we create.
Yeah. And I think what needs to happen behind that, though, is change 99.8C, because that ordinance is out of date then.
No, well, Mr. Chairman, might it also be prudent that the commission members be provided with a copy of these Mason rules?
It would be a good idea if it was available to us. I imagine it's a fairly substantial volume, but I've never seen it. I'd kind of like to see one myself.
I believe it's next door in the law library.
I think the council has a copy also, but they used to keep it actually in here, I believe.
Well, I think
Bobbin kept it, or else the administrator kept it.
At least have one available to us.
I guess we get bored when we read it.
Yeah. We could get a copy of it and just
should be available.
Sure. I mean, when we set the table up, like the Board of Adjustment, we have all their name tags in a Bible because people get sworn. And here we could do the same thing in the box that we use to hold the name tag and just keep copying.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
That'll work.
How come we don't swear?
Because it's parliamentary.
Right. And we're not a quasi-judicial like.
Okay, they are quasi-judicial.
We were never sworn in, Mr. Chairman, at least I wasn't.
Been sworn at, but not sworn in.
Yeah, by you many a time under your breath.
I beg your pardon.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
You just don't remember.
I may comment on what's been written and some thoughts I've had on it that are perhaps interrelated. Since we're talking about procedures, I know on occasion we've talked about waiving fees or expediting a review. Is that something that we should address, or maybe perhaps it is addressed in here? I just missed it.
I thought it was.
I think it is.
I thought we retained
near the end
the right to waive a fee or give somebody preference in the queue.
Okay. And while we're talking about the 10 calendar days and the submission of plans, an issue is of concern to mine oftentimes is that as part of that process, we haven't been getting the PLUS comments or response to PLUS. You know, oftentimes PLUS sends a developer their comments a year and a half before we even have a public hearing, and we're getting sometimes these PLUS responses that week.
Well, I think the applicant and their representatives was certainly be on notice that that's not acceptable anymore. I mean, if the PLUS comments are not coming to them in a reasonable amount of time, that's one issue. If they're getting them, but it's just not getting to us in a reasonable amount of time, that's what this is designed to address.
Well, the PLUS comment, they have a scheduling procedure themselves, and they have to respond within a certain number of days
right.
to the applicant.
Right.
And then the request, the very last sentence, I believe, in the PLUS comments is that they request the applicant to respond to their comments.
Yes,
but there's no time limit
there's
on
there's
no
time limit on
well, but that's not, that's fine for PLUS, but.
I'm just saying for PLUS, yeah. So they have the opportunity to respond. They come to us and they have responded. We've deferred.
Yeah.
But it should respond to PLUS can, because PLUS comment, when they typically respond back, is a minor statement. So a short paragraph, typically they thank them for responding and.
Right.
Wish they had given more consideration to Denrich's request for 100-foot buffers or other things, but very seldom, it's very many.
Okay. When the applicants do respond to the PLUS comments, the applicant's response is in turn sent out to the review agencies for their
comment yeah.
back on the comments, what changes were made, things like that. As Mr. Lawrence Lank just said, frequently, there's not much that's said in response to that other than thank you very much and note that wish you had done something different, but they do go through that process.
I think the question, issue is, are we creating a hardship that's beyond the control of the applicant? I don't think we are.
All they need to do is respond.
Yeah.
And we've made the point enough to enough applicants that know that we prefer to see it on highlighted answers to
sure.
paragraph submitted in comment.
When they submit all the other materials.
So you're not looking at two documents, one
exactly.
one plus and one response.
Okay.
And another area that is of concern for me is on occasion we'll have a public hearing and information's presented during the public hearing along with our volumes, and in reviewing that sometimes I need more information to render a decision. Is that something that, is there a procedure whereby we can?
You can leave the record open to receive information. Other than that, what you get is what you get.
And that's what I'm saying. As a commissioner, if I'm giving this voluminous information, even though now it's going to be hopefully 10 days rather than 3 days before where I have basically one night to read the full.
It'll be 10 days.
My concern is that sometime, well, I guess if I'm intuitive enough during the commission meeting that I can realize there's more information I need, I could obviously leave the record open, as I recently did with one project. But I guess my concern is, and I'll use a project that was in the past year near the Mount Air on 24.
Yeah.
You know, it occurred to me after the public hearing that we hadn't gotten any information or response from Mount Air whether they had any concerns about 400 homes in their backyard. And, you know, I didn't think to leave the record open to...
Well, it's up for discussion, but it would seem to me that Mount Air was notified. Mount Air would have had plenty of time to respond if they had something to say, and if they didn't take advantage of it, they didn't take advantage of it. I don't think we want to get ourselves in a position where we can keep going back and saying, well, now we want this, now we want that, after we've had a public hearing. I mean, the record's the record at that point, and whatever anybody's turned in. I think the good thing about getting the stuff 10 days ahead, it's usually in the studying of it that you realize that there's something else you'd like to know.
Right.
So we would have, you'd have plenty of time to either request it, request it during the hearing, or leave the record open for them to produce it for us if they can't produce it during the hearing. But I would be a little concerned about doing something that could perpetuate an open record for an unlimited amount of time.
I agree with Chairman Wheatley, because I think in here somewhere it says one of the jobs of the commission is to do the job of the commission, which is the...
I think that would is whether expressed or implied, that's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then perhaps some of my concerns could be addressed if, depending upon how Rule 18 is interpreted in terms of request for a rehearing. For example, if in reviewing the information, there was stuff that was wrong. I like at the recent meeting, you know, there was a difference in calculation or lot sizes about every time we talked in terms of what was in Parcel A, what was in Parcel B, and what was in the original plot for an open landing. So that's one reason why I left that record open. Of course, our esteemed counsel was lucky to avoid that one.
Well, what...
But is that request for rehearing, is that a request that's only available to the applicant?
Yeah, that's under the...
Yeah, I don't think the commission can request a rehearing.
Okay.
But understanding that if you are in sufficient doubt based on the record that's in front of you, you vote in accordance with that.
Rest assured.
Well, I'm sure you would. My point is, if you're not satisfied, you know, you can put a motion up to deny on that basis.
Okay.
Then they have to come back 18 months later and do it again.
If everybody agrees.
If everybody agrees.
Yeah.
If two other people go along with you. then you'll be fine. If they don't, well, that's the way it is. That's why we vote.
And perhaps finally, along that same vein, is what sometimes I haven't personally experienced it yet, but we have a public hearing that we have, then the council has a public hearing mm-hmm. soon thereafter,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes different information is presented there that...
All the time.
I mean, that would certainly wind up looking at two different projects almost, or
well,
how do we...
Yeah, there's two things that come into play here. First of all, and I think I know when I was first came into this job, one of the things that's difficult to grasp right away is that this is not a negotiation. We are not negotiating with the applicants. We'd like to, you know, you'd like to be able to get back and forth, but that's just not how it works. They present stuff to us. You know, we evaluate it. We render a decision. You know, that's the way we do it. So we can't really get into a negotiated kind of posture with them. And the other thing is that we have to make a recommendation based on what was presented to us, and what they do in front of council is between them and council, frankly, because it's just not something. And I know that we think, well, if they'd have said that to us, well, that's true. But that's kind of how it works. They get a shot at us, and then they get a shot at council. And yeah, the process probably actually works pretty well, even though they, you know, I don't want to say that this is their dress rehearsal, but you know, in effect, they get two bites at the apple. They get one here with us, and we make a recommendation based on what we saw. And I think that does mean something to council. Now, they do reverse us once in a while, but I think perhaps they reverse us based on what they saw. I don't think it's so much a repudiation of the decision we made as it is a decision based on the presentation that was given to us. So I don't think we should try to combine those things in any way. And
well, you know, a lot of information at our hearing by the opposition is first heard by the applicant at our hearing.
Right.
So when he goes to county council,
and he can't
he's heard that. Right. He's heard that, and
he has time to formulate a response or to change their presentation. And you know, it's probably
they go to council. They go to council, and the attorney would say, "Well, you're going to hear."
Right.
That, you know, basically what the opposition has right. told him, and then he addresses it.
Yeah. That's the process we have, and I don't want to would be concerned about changing the rules that would try to circumvent that in any way.
I just sometimes feel like we're kind of like a sequestered jury.
Are. Well,
we're dealing with gun running issues, and now there's a war going on over here, well, and we're not allowed to take that into consideration.
We're really not. We are sequestered in the sense that we have to make decisions based on the record that was presented to us, and I think having the option to hold the record open to receive additional information is probably as good as it gets, and probably as good as it should get, because you know, at some point somebody has to make a decision,
right,
and get things and move things along.
But are we deferring it to receive additional information, or are we just deferring it for further consideration?
Well, you can then you leave the record open to receive additional information.
Right, we've done that.
To defer simply to allow more time to consider what's already been presented to you.
Okay.
It doesn't give you the benefit to ask for additional
information. But you can't. You can't ask for additional information. You can't receive it. You really can't even consider it. I'm sure many of you, as I did, continue to receive letters on Shiloh after the hearing.
Which
I didn't even read them, because right. we can't consider them. They, you know, you have to, and I will recommend this to you if you aren't doing it already. If you receive anything from you know, on an application after the hearing, at least until we vote on it, you can't look at it. You really shouldn't even look at it, because it's not, you know, it is not part of the record. So,
but we have to stick them in the file if it comes in.
I understand that. You have to keep them.
Seed date takes care of the
right.
Process. What's part of the record?
Right, right. But I would suggest to you that don't even spend a lot of time with them, so, because you don't need to have your judgment colored.
If you get them in the mail at home, there's no reason after the hearing, there's no reason to read
them. I don't even open some of them if I know what they are, because I received so many letters from the same people that I kind of recognize the return address.
Yeah, right.
You know, so. Anyway, what do we need to do?
Well, I think you need to have a motion to approve these rules as amended.
If you wish, or you can, you know.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
whatever. We need a motion.
I'm sorry.
That motion should include that Mr. Robertson will provide the commission with revised copies based on the discussion.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the rules of procedure as presented and as amended by council.
And then I'll provide the commission.
We'll provide.
Oh, and that and that
final version, a clean version.
And that council will provide the commission with the revised version.
With final approval from the staff upon receipt of all.
Yeah.
So moved and seconded to approve the, what are they called?
Did somebody second it?
Benny did.
Benny actually seconded the revised rules of procedure for the Planning and Zoning Commission with the understanding that Mr. Robertson will provide us all with a revised draft based on the discussions.
contained in this public meeting. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.